Say hallelujah. Unveil my eyes, O Lord, and I will see the marvels of your law. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Men will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to imprisonment, and bring it before kings and governors because of my name. And you will be witnesses to my name. Keep this carefully in mind. You are not to prepare your defense, because I myself will give you an eloquence and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all on account of my name, but not a hair of your head will be lost. Your endurance will win you your lives." This is the gospel of the Lord. Near the last week of the liturgical year, both on Sunday, which is the feast of Christ the King, and then during the week, first readings in the Gospel emphasize the fact that we have to pay for our service of God in our witness to Jesus Christ. And there is one thing that is distinctively, uniquely Catholic in Christianity. It is the fact that following Christ means you've got to pay. There's a price. There's a cost. There's no bargains in serving our Lord. And then again, both sides are brought out during the last week of the liturgical year. The side of those who are not willing to pay, and as a consequence will be punished. And the language could not be clearer. Were the eternal, imagine eternal hellfire. Was the last time you heard that in a homily? The crude, blasphemous jokes about fire and brimstone, my friends, they are not jokes. But today's gospel has our Lord speaking to those who are willing to not just serve him, but willing to witness to him. And as I've said so many times, the word witness, when our Lord said, "You will be my witnesses," the Greek is, "You will be my martyrs." In other words, if we're going to remain faithful to our Lord, let me tell you, and the most costly witness is not giving lectures or speeches or standing on street corners. The most difficult witness is being faithful in our own lives to what we know is the teaching and the will of Christ. And as we've just heard, we'll be opposed. What a mild word. Opposed. Persecuted. All I can tell you, one book I will never publish is my autobiography. Every word that our Lord used in Luke's Gospel that we read this morning is literally, to the nth degree, true. And there's only one mistake we can make. That there's some mistake. There's no mistake. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to call anybody a heretic. You can be just sweetness and kindness and gentleness to everybody. All you have to do, that's all, is remain faithful to what our Lord wants of you. And you're going to be, if we go down the litany of the verbs, opposed, persecuted, and what joy that would be. And some of you, you want it, wouldn't you? Ted? Cecilia? Mike? Daniel? To be martyrs? That's what following Christ means. And I mean it. What we need is bishops who are willing to die for their faith, priests, religious, husbands, single people, the young and the old. And just because we want to be faithful to our Lord, the world will not love us. Is that ever a safe statement? Lord Jesus, we thank you for making it so plain of how much we have to expect to pay if we're going to be faithful to your name. Protect us, dear Jesus, from ever giving in to human respect. Give us the courage of martyrs and to love when we are opposed because of you. Because that's the way, dear Jesus, you redeemed the world by your death on the cross. That's what you want of us, to cooperate with you in the redemption of a sinful world by dying, and if need be, at the hands of our friends and relatives. Dear Jesus, we love you, and we ask you, and I'm speaking for everybody in chapel today, are asking for the grace of dying a martyr's death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you must realize that she will soon be laid desolate. Then those in Judea must escape to the mountains. Those inside the city must leave it, and those in country districts must not take refuge in it. For this is the time of vengeance, when all that Scripture says must be fulfilled. Alas for those with child or with children at the breast when these days come. For great misery will descend on the land, and wrath on this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive to every pagan country, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the pagans until the age of the pagans is completely over. There will be signs in the sea and the sun and moon and stars. On earth, nations in agony, bewildered by the clamor of the ocean and its waves, men dying of fear as they await what menaces the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand erect, hold your heads high, because your liberation is near at hand. This is the gospel of the Lord. You might say that's a strange gospel for Thanksgiving Day. It happens to be the gospel for today. But it is not strange once we realize what are the consequences of ingratitude. In other words, God is very generous, but he wants us to be grateful. And if we're not grateful, he will punish. So far, today's gospel. The most obvious subject to speak on Thanksgiving Day is gratitude. So we ask ourselves the three fundamental questions always. What is gratitude? Why should we be grateful? And how? What is gratitude? Gratitude is the loving appreciation shown for someone's generosity to us. The loving appreciation shown for someone's generosity to us. Among human beings, gratitude is the most fundamental virtue. That if we don't think others should practice towards us, they know we should practice towards them. Gratitude is the foundation of everything in our relationship to God. So we ask ourselves, why should we be grateful? And of course, to God. It is because he has been so. No words we can use can begin to describe how good God has been to us. When I speak on this subject, I always like to see some empty chairs or in church pews. There are no pews there used to be, no longer in this chapel. Except for God's goodness, you'd be the empty chairs. And I'd be the empty chair behind me. No words can describe the total universality. Everything we are, everything we have, everything we hope to be, everything we hope to have, past, present, and the eternal future, is a gift from God. Why then are we to be grateful? Because we owe everything to God. And as we've said, gratitude is the loving appreciation shown for the generosity. In this case, the consummate, total generosity of God toward us. Why should we be grateful? Because gratitude is the foundation of love. Unless with our minds we recognize all that God has given and is giving us, I don't see we won't love Him. We cannot. The basis of love is a return of love towards the one who is loving us. Except for God, we wouldn't be. Over the years, I must repeat this story 50 times. In Chicago 1 month, I was substituting for the regular chaplain at a monastery. The monastery had a black dog. He always waited for me when I was ready to come out in the morning from Mass. I would pet the dog, he'd follow me. On the way from the rectory to the monastery, I would thank God that it wasn't this dog. Every bird in the sky, every animal that we see, every flea, every fly, every mosquito, we could be. The animals have no more claim on their existence than do we. This, and finally, we ask ourselves, how? This is the foundation, as I've said before, not only for our spiritual life, so we may save our souls. It is the foundation of sanctity. How then are we to show our gratitude towards God? I don't know how many years ago I began to talk this way, and I've never stopped. How are we to show our gratitude towards God? By thanks thinking. Our thoughts, our minds, should be constantly alert to the fact that whatever we have, whatever we are, is from God. How ungrateful we can be in our thoughts. We tend to take everything for granted. How then are we to show our gratitude to God? By thinking. And it's not spontaneous. We'll have to make an effort. We are so, and I speak for one person. I don't know you as well as I know myself, but I sure know me. We can take ourselves so totally for granted that unless we cultivate the habit of thanks thinking every day, nothing else will follow. That's why St. Ignatius, by the rule that I have as a member of the Society of Jesus, tells us he did it 7 times a day. By rule, we're told to do it at least 2x a day. To think, just plain think of what God has done for me. And not only in the distant past, but, for example, it must be round 7:45.
7:55.
What has God done for me since? Well, we got up this morning to make a conscious effort every day to think of what God has done for me. Let me be a little clearer. Not everything that God does for us, for which we should be grateful, is pleasant. By the way, this would be a little longer than usual homily, being Thanksgiving Day. Are you telling us we are to be grateful for the things we don't like? Sure. Because God's goodness to us is shown not only in what we like, in fact, His greatest goodness to us is when He sends us what we don't like. Thank God for the painful things in life. But we've got to think. We're still on thanks thinking. We've got to make ourselves realize these are gifts from God. Secondly, beyond thanks thinking, we are to practice what I call thanks speaking. Gratitude is not just something inside, it is to be expressed. We are to tell God, first to the depths of our hearts, but even verbally and vocally, thank you, Lord. Thanks speaking or thanks saying is indispensable for showing true gratitude. Yourselves, you wives, you've spent extra time in cooking a very special meal. How many wives have told me this? And husband sits down and doesn't even seem to realize. Doesn't he know how much time I've spent on this meal? Now God God knows whether we are grateful or not. But we must tell him. Now watch this. Thanks speaking is not to inform God that we're grateful. Thanks speaking is to teach ourselves, shake us up, wake us up. We need expressions of gratitude to God. To constantly remind us of the fact that everything we are, have, and hope to be comes from God. Thereof, thanksgiving is crucial in living out our Christian Catholic lives. I go on. Thanks speaking. But then, you're not going to tell God we're grateful. We are to show it by thanks, giving. As St. Ignatius, in his exercises, reminds those who make, especially the 30-day retreat, that love is manifest in deeds rather than in words. Or we can be effusively grateful with our lips and lazy, ungrateful in our deeds. Gratitude is to be shown in action. I like to put it this way. Suppose before we came into existence, suppose by an impossible flip of the imagination we could have talked to God. Say, Lord, I really appreciate that you love me, because God loved us from all eternity. But pardon me, Lord, for saying this. Would you mind, showing me how good you are, how much you love me? All right. What are you asking for? Would you give me something? Like what? Lord, pardon me for saying this. Like bringing me into existence. Thanks thinking is fundamental. Thanks speaking is necessary. But thanksgiving is crucial. In other words, we are to manifest our gratitude in what we do out of love for God, because he has been doing and giving us so much out of love for us. I should stop. Not quite. One more, and this is the hardest. Not only are we to be grateful in our thoughts, grateful in our speech towards God, in our actions, in giving God, doing for him out of sheer love what he has been doing for us out of sheer love. And remember, true gratitude never bargains. never bargains. Yeah, I've been so grateful. And not even a word of appreciation. The highest form of gratitude is towards a person who does not return our gratitude to us. Now that brings us to the fourth kind of gratitude, on how we are to show our loving appreciation to God. Thanks thinking, thanks speaking, thanksgiving, and thanks giving up. Otherwise known as sacrifice. And this is what our faith tells us. God became man. He became man. Why? In order that he might suffer and die on the cross out of love for us. This takes a lot of faith. The faith that sees. Now the highest form of gratitude we can show to God is by letting go, surrendering, giving up out of gratitude for the God who became man to show his love for us by dying on the cross. This is not just the highest form of gratitude. This gratitude for us who have the faith is the test of whether we really, really appreciate what God has been doing for us. Our patient endurance of suffering, our acceptance of what may be agony in our lives, however, and 45 years in the priesthood taught me many things. Those whom God is calling to the highest level of union with Him, the highest degree of sanctity, He provides with the opportunity of what we may casually call thanksgiving up as the highest form of loving appreciation we can show to God. And the more painful the sacrifice, the deeper our love. Lord Jesus, on today's Thanksgiving Day, enlighten our minds to realize how good you have been to us. Open our hearts to give ourselves entirely to you. Especially, dear Jesus, in surrendering ourselves completely to your divine will. And, Jesus, the more painful the experience, the more be believed, be a loving you. We thank you, dear Lord, for all you've given us, not only in the past year, not only for all you've given us in our past life. We thank you for the eternity of love that you want to show us. But dear Savior, we must realize your goodness to us, so that being grateful to you here on earth, we may for all eternity experience the reward of our gratitude. And our reward, dear Lord, is you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. In gratitude for all that God has given us, individually and collectively as families, let us pray to the Lord. In gratitude for all the suffering that God has given us, in order to draw out our deepest love for Him, we pray to the Lord. For our own personal intentions. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. He sends out his word to the earth. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. You observe them when they are budding, and know for yourselves that summer is near. Likewise, when you see all the things happening of which I speak, know that the kingdom of God is near. Let me tell you this. The present generation will not pass away until all this takes place. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. This is the gospel of the Lord. First, my apologies for not being here last Wednesday. My clock just did not go off. As we approach the end of the ecclesiastical year, for several weeks, the Church's liturgy concentrates on the last day. What the Church, and of course Christ behind the Church, want to teach us is that everything, and the word is everything, in this world is only a means to an end. And the liturgical year itself is meant to symbolize a beginning, a middle, and an end. We are here in this world, but our purpose is not to remain in this world. Our purpose here is to prove ourselves worthy of life everlasting. We may say there is an inverse proportion between a people finding life here enjoyable, satisfying, and then wanting to prolong their lives here on earth as long as possible, from 1900 to 1990, the average lifespan of every American has increased by 30 years, 30 times over 200 million is a lot of years. Progress, prosperity in the minds of millions. This is wonderful. We don't have to work as much. We live longer. We are more healthy for a longer length of time. And when in either our own judgment or the judgment of those in charge of the government, we should leave this world, then we leave the world. After all, this is our destiny. And our state of Michigan is the testing ground. As I keep telling people, Michigan is the testing ground of whether our government will officially, it's being done, will officially terminate man's life here on earth. If there is one thing of the liturgy as has been in existence since the dawn of Christianity, wants to bring out, our purpose in life is not, dear God, dear Lord God, it is not to stay here. Whatever else, one more day, tomorrow, to the liturgical year. Our purpose here is to be tested. It is to be tried. We are on probation. Our purpose here is, I didn't used to say this before, our purpose on earth is to suffer. We are in the valley of tears. But that's insane. No, it isn't. The opposite is insanity. We are here to patiently endure the trials of this life, in order that, having patiently accepted God's will in our lives, and not complained even interiorly, accepting, as Christ tells us, our cross, we might then enter that everlasting life for which we were made. We are on earth in order to do God's will, and God's will is constantly testing our will to submit ourselves to His will, no matter what the price, here on earth. so we may enter that New Jerusalem about which we read in the first reading, and that we might be aware that the dawn of eternity is the beginning of our real life with God, provided we have been faithful and patient and enduring here on earth. Lord Jesus, we beg you, with millions walking in darkness and the shadow of eternal death, we beg you, dear Jesus, to open our eyes and the eyes of our contemporaries, that every year is meant to remind us there is a spring, a summer, an autumn, and a winter.